Can you maybe pray for me that God would speak through me to you this morning? So why don't you put your hands out and Lord, use me. Father, what you've done is incredible in this place and in our lives. Would you speak through me this morning, Lord? And would you allow your spirit to move boldly amongst every single person in this place? In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Arf. I don't know why, but I feel like I need to take my shoes off this morning. There's no burning bush yet, but we'll wait and see. So, there's three different categories I felt God wanted to open up this morning. The first one was, you've never given your heart to Jesus in your life before. You're kind of wondering, who's Jesus? Why do I need him? Hopefully by the end of this, you're going to go, I definitely want him in my heart. The second group is, you've been serving Jesus for a while, but something's gone out in your heart. And the message, as I share this message, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit is going to start to ignite that thing in you again, to make you alive again. I almost felt that thing where I saw this picture of her. You remember, if you watch, when you ever a hospital thing, you always are watching, deet, deet, deet. And the first thought everybody has when you're watching any medical, because my wife loves them and I have to watch them with her because I'm married to her, is, oh, let them come alive. Like they jump on the machines and... And this morning, I feel God's going to shock some of you into back to life. And then the third group, and this is the one I was a bit like, how do I share this, God? But God's spoken to you, and you've made a deal with God, but you haven't lived up your side of the bargain. And today, you can make right with God and say, God, I'm going to take that. Stand this morning, I'm going to make true of my deal that I've made with you. And that could be something like, God, if you come through in this situation, I swear I will never stop serving you. But you have not done that. So those are the three specific things. If you want to give my message a title, it's called The Greatest Gift. Remember when you were young and Christmas came around and the excitement, I remember it so much. Like all your siblings are talking about, wonder where mom's hid the presents. I wonder if we can go find it. You want to see it in the top of the cupboard because you know it's always in the top where you can't reach. And there's that anticipation, like there's so much excitement around it. And the morning you wake up and you see the gifts under the Christmas tree and you're so excited, all you want to do is open them and it's the gift you wanted. I remember mine was roller skates. I put those things on at 5:30 in the morning, me and my sisters all got, and we were in our little driveway, because that's what we had at the time, ran up and down. Told my parents, shut up. Waking up the neighbors, it's so much fun. And then they got dusty and old. And I didn't care about them anymore, and they just got forgotten. It was a great gift for a moment, but the gift I'm talking about this morning is everlasting gift. The kingdom of heaven... Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. I battled with the scripture a lot because I didn't understand it before I was saved. Like, what am I supposed to be looking for? I'm looking for a treasure. Sorry, let me just quickly take time because it's supposed to be the shortest priest in history because it's Christmas. and then I'd been searching my whole life. So I spent my youth misspent, did drugs, did all the horrible things you aren't supposed to do, and searching. But I was in this moment of searching for the king that I didn't know about. And when I walked into a church and I finally raised my hand and said, I want to serve him, I realized I found this treasure. And then the scripture made sense. I gave up everything of my past life, and I moved into everything that was called, God called me to. We've got to give up everything. We want to hold on to weird things like what the earth offers and these things that better jobs and better lives and bigger houses and better cars. That's some of the deals that you guys have made. That's one of the things you might need to just check. Is that a deal I made? Remember when you got gifts? I remember, so up until Christmas, 1 month before, naughty as a sin, Christmas comes so well behaved. Because if you are not good, you're not getting presents. And I remember I used to be the sweetest kid up until Christmas. Got my presents at 5 o'clock in the morning. Oh, Dad, just let us go a little bit long. I'm not listening to you anymore. I got my gift. I'm like, but I want to say this. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. Doesn't matter how good you are. And I'm going to break that down a bit for you this morning, because I wanted you to hear, because one of the things that we do is we try and be good. Even in this church, we try and be good. We want people to think, oh, look, I see he's good. But the one person that we're trying to impress is him. And he sees the motives of my heart. So why do I care what you think? Unless you're unsaved and I need to show you Jesus, I really care what you think. But if we're brothers and we lock arms and we're battling and we're walking together, we need to lock arms together and speak about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the success. But we talk about success like it's a trophy. But we don't talk about how I battled through a certain thing and God came through and then I got a trophy. The problem with good. The first problem with relying on being a good person is that the definition is different for everybody. My good me must be this. My good is obviously always trying to be this. You must look after the poor. That's being a good person. Look after the poor, help them. I've got enough we can do. They got a little bit more than me. Your definition might be don't steal. Don't speak badly about someone. Everybody's definition changes. It's not the same for each person. But God's standard isn't better than your standard. His standard is perfection. A pure and spotless bride. That's what he's coming back for. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Thinking of it like this. Imagine we all wanted to try and jump from here, from Big Bay, to Robben Island. Some of us could probably jump like past the first little break and land. Some people might jump further than you. But nobody's going to make it there on your own strength. That's exactly what it is trying to be good and get into heaven. It's the same kind of thing. Impossible. If we could get to heaven because we were good, imagine what heaven would be like. It would be this place where people were going, I made it. I deserve to be here. All the stuff I did was good. All my good works are, look, I'm in. I made it. There would be a lot of people bragging about why they were there. It's not a rugby game or a soccer game where your team wins and you, woohoo, we won. Because remember, like, who's still excited about the last time the Springboks won? We are, but not as excited all straight after the game. That excitement lasts. Yeah! Okay, let's carry on with life. But that's how far good gets you. It's momentarily. It's all about self. It's not about kingdom. You can't earn a gift. If we were to get into heaven by being good, it wouldn't be a gift. It'd be a paycheck. God doesn't want employees. He wants children. He wants to give you inheritance. Not a weekly wage. We're working so much for weekly wages at the moment that we forget about the inheritance we have in God. Is this coming across okay? Is it making sense? Good. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to hold my notes a bit because I Need them. I've written down so many things that I had to quickly go through. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." We don't get this because we did good. I mean, if I had to be calculated on all the bad stuff I did, I think it would outweighs the good I'm ever going to do. I'm trying to make up for that as I go now, because once I got saved, I realized, yo, what I thought was, and I wanted to be, if I'm honest, when I was growing up, like, everybody wants to be good. And it's not for good sake, it's because people like good people. I wanted to be liked. You know what? Jesus loves you, man. You don't need to be liked. You're loved. He's got an eternal purpose for you. My life completely changed around. Everything when I was growing up was like this broken home, this broken person, this broken thing that was just searching and didn't realize they needed a Savior. And I didn't even know what a Savior was before I went to church. I hated church people. I grew up in a time when they were called that time, and still called that today, but reborn Christians was a big thing when I grew up. And my aunts were reborn Christians, and uncle, and they would go to church on a Sunday. And I would come back, meet them for a brighter house, and watch the way they behaved after church. And I was like, well, if this is good, I don't want this. Good's not going to help you. If we could get there by our own hard work, heaven wouldn't be full of people bragging about how they did it instead. And that's the thing. If we could get there by our good works, we become braggers. We become people that are, it's about us. Look how well I did. And I think today, God wants us to do well. So don't hear what I'm not saying. Because I'm doing way better than I've ever done before in my entire life because of God, not because of me. Because all the things I try to attain, I couldn't do it. But with God, all things are possible. If good people don't go to heaven, who does? Well, that's people who aren't good. That's all of us. For all have sinned and fallen short. Jesus spent his time with sinners, tax collectors. And when they asked him, why did he do that? He quoted the scripture, Mark 2:17. He says, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." And if you look up righteousness, it means in good standing. That word good. I must say, after I finished this preach, I started like, every time I heard good, I was like, kind of like, why is it starting to, like, dig into me, God? Why is good starting to sound like it's not good? Because there's better than good. There's saved. And some of us need to stretch out our hands today and reach out and be saved. You're drowning, and you think you're doing great, and the people around you think you're doing great, but actually inside you're drowning. And you're dying. To get to heaven, you can't stop trying to prove you're a good person, but start admitting you're a sinner and you need a Savior. So how do we get in? Can we knock? Can we be good? Can we do all the things that make us look good? No. It's called the Great Exchange. On the cross, Jesus took all our bad, our sins. And gave us all his good, his righteousness. When God looks at us after that moment when we give our lives to Jesus, he doesn't see us through our lives anymore. He sees us through the blood of Jesus. It's a crazy thing. We were in worship now, and I was sitting there going, I've been saved for 26 years. And this morning I was blown away by, he chose me. Like I had to make that choice, but he chose me. He chose to come down here as a man, live for a certain amount of time, give up his life, because sin doesn't just go away because we go, I'm sorry. And we carry on. And we use God's mercy as a platform for doing bad things. And we carry on, but God's mercy is enough. He had to pay with his life, man. He had to give us that piece of blood that we need so desperately, because blood atones for our sin. In John 14, verse 6, it tells us, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Before we had to, if you read Old Testament, which is quite like scary when you read the Old Testament, you think, is he the same God in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament? Yes, he is. The difference is somebody's come to take the wrath of our lives away from us because of what Jesus did. He came and paid that price. So we no longer have to live under this, oh, we have to keep paying with whatever lamb, cut them up, burn them. Every time I read those things, it's kind of like, that sounds so disgusting, like blood flowing over the altar. But it was a sign of your stiffness, if I can put it in that way. How stiff we are. We do things that people don't know about, and we keep them to ourselves, and God wants to set you free from that today. Don't hold on to that. That stuff is going to kill you, eat you up inside. I know, I lived it, I hid there for a long time. I try to find relief in every kind of thing in the world. There's nothing out there that can do what Jesus can do for you this morning. I'm going to read John 3:16, and you probably know it, but I'm going to read a bit of that scripture. Because the scripture means, was probably the first scripture I ever learned off by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. This life is like, and you don't know what tomorrow holds. I watched Australia's Bondi Beach getting blown up, people getting shot. They thought they had the rest of their lives to themselves, and some crazy guy runs out, shoot, 16 people die. Who knows how long we have? But we walk around like we are like unshakable. We can do everything. I will make that decision someday. And I felt today, like today was your day. Like you need to make that decision today. So I'm going to keep reading that scripture because I wanted you to read, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him, not condemned, but whoever does not believe, stands condemned. Already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates light and will not come into the light, for they fear the deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives in the truth comes to the light, so that they may be plainly that what he has done has been done through God. This is God's plan. Plan A. We spent eternity, 2,026 years trying to find plan B. There must be another way. There's only one way. That's the best way. Surrender your lives to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came to die for you. Why don't we close our eyes? And why don't we stand while we close our eyes? So I spoke about, close your eyes. I spoke about three different people can see you looking at me. That's what I'm telling you. The reason I'm asking you to close your eyes, because while your eyes are closed, I want the Holy Spirit to work in your hearts. And if he speaks to you now, I want you to respond through those three groups of people that I spoke to about this morning. And the very first one is, you haven't given your life to Jesus before, but today he wants to call you out and say, I've paid the ultimate price for you, and I want your life to count. And I don't want you to live the way you lived before, in condemnation, in fear, in anger. And he wants to call you out this morning. So if that's you, I'd like you to quickly shoot your hand up. I want to see it quickly. Do it quickly now so I can see it. Anyone want to give their heart to Jesus this morning? I'm going to give you a little bit longer. As the Holy Spirit, if your heart's pounding in your chest, he's calling you out. And he wants to give you a new life, where the old will be gone and the new has come. So if that's you, why don't you just quickly shoot your hand up? Nobody's looking. Thank you. In that same first group, I want to, if you've been serving God, but you're sitting there and you're unsure about your salvation, like you don't know if Jesus came today, or somebody shot you in the middle of Bondi Beach on holiday, and your life ended today, do you know you're going to heaven? And so you might have given your life to Jesus before, but you right now, you know God is saying, I want you back. If that's you, why don't you put up your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. So there's more of you. Some of you have made that commitment to God that I want to serve you, God, and I do all this stuff for you. And that's the second group of people. But you fall into that same little category, like you need to recommit your life to God this morning and say, God, I want to make true on what I committed to you in the first place. And your time is not over yet. So if that's you, put up your hand quickly while eyes are closed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know there's more of you. Make right with God this morning, not with me, okay? So I'm going to ask you to do something very brave if you put your hand up. Come to the front. Just quickly come out of your seats and come to the front. Somebody put their hand up with you and they're too afraid, you can come out with them. So you're coming to the front because this is what God said. If you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my kingdom. And sometimes we need to understand that when we make a stand before God. If you didn't put your hand up and you want to come to the front, please come to the front. I believe there's more people. I believe the Holy Spirit is on some of you right now. Just come. Don't be shy. This could be your time. Let's go. Thank you. What a beautiful day it is. The 25th of December, 2025, where your lives are never going to be the same again. Ever. God sees what you do here. Okay, so while if all our eyes are closed, some of you who didn't come to the front or might have been a little bit scared, or you want to commit to God right now in your heart, I believe God's calling a lot of you to do that. Let's pray this prayer first. And we can all pray together. Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I'm sorry, Lord, for the life I've lived. But Lord, you have paid the ultimate price. Lord, that you have died for my sins. And today, Lord, I stand forgiven, not because of my good works, but because of what you've done for me, Jesus. That you died for me. Lord, would you come and live in my heart? Lord, and as the angels in heaven say, we will worship this moment. Amen. So what's happening right now? We don't really know if it's Jesus' birthday, but I think we all celebrate it as Jesus' birthday for the 25th. But the angels in heaven are going ballistic because of you guys. Because of what you've made a decision today. That you've made a stand. That you're going to say, God, I'm going to serve you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, why don't we close our eyes quickly? We're going to pray for this. Lord, come and live in each of our hearts, Lord God. Come and challenge us. Let us be people that are not scared to step out into the things you've called us to, God. Let us always know that you love us, that we don't have to do good things to come to you, God, that we have to repent, that we have to know that we're sinners and acknowledge our sin and lay it down before you, Lord God, and thank you, Lord, that you forgive sins. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to be saved. Thank you, Lord, that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and no person will ever deny that. One day all will be revealed, Lord God. Have an awesome birthday, Jesus. We love you. Amen.